back. Only on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
Two minutes, 37 seconds after the hour 12 in this, the month of December in the year of our Lord, 2002. Thank you for coming by. It is Tuesday. It is Christmas Eve. We are live. Coming up today, we got all the show coming up today. We're going to be rolling out later on today the top five non-traditional Christmas songs of all time. We'll have news at Ground Zero with your friend of mine, Clyde Lewis. Another edition of How Chicks Think with Jolie from the front desk. Oh, I finally picked up the Inquirer. I got that Inquirer that's got the Britney story in it. We'll try to get to that later on. Let's see, we got a Battle Watch coming up today. Also another edition of Rick Emerson's Joy of Christmas, plus an Aussie Watch. Heather and Ivy, who is the chocolate love from Delilah's Catering, I think are going to be stopping in later on. At least that's the rumor anyway. Oh, and that Tiger Scout kid, that Cub Scout kid who's getting his achievement bead in communications. Yeah, I think that's going to be today too. So, fun for all on this eve of Xmas. All right, it's 503-250-1080 in Portland at 1-800-727-5955. We're here along with Clyde Lewis, sitting in Sarah Dillon today. Matt Peterson, the executive producer's chair, and not actually sitting in his chair at the moment, Tim Riley, who normally is here. Tim Riley. My king, Tim Riley.
Tim's here.
No, he's not. He's, where is he?
Well, he's...
Is he back?
He's actually on the phone. but he's here. He's on line one. You should pick him up. I talked to him. It's Christmas Eve.
I can't see the screen, so I have no choice but to... Tim.
Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a 2003 Mercedes-Benz CLK 320. Happy motoring.
You're such a dick. Are you down? I didn't think that was until after Christmas.
Oh, no, this is my Christmas gift.
Where are you calling from?
The KOTK parking lot up front.
Are you in your Mercedes now?
I am.
Do I get to hear the engine purr?
You can barely hear the engine. Let's try it here. Can you hear it?
No, it's just so quiet that it can't even be heard.
Here's the horn.
Get up here. Jesus. I have to do the show. Wait.
Oh, but this is... Oh, it's so comfortable.
You can't do... do the show from
Tim,
your Mercedes.
You can probably do your show from the bench. Did you take the cue sheet with you?
You cannot do the show from... You don't have the E-cuts and your headphones aren't down there. You cannot do the show from the Mercedes.
He doesn't need his headphones. He's got a cell phone. He's hearing everything.
Oh... It's luxury and dynamic elegance combined. The 2003 Mercedes.
Okay, really, seriously. Now
detailing for like $50,000.
I hate you. Come up now.
Oh, damn it, okay.
All right. It's the Rick Emerson Show. It is Christmas Eve, and welcome to Day 12.
Here comes Fatty with a sack of shit. Here comes Fatty with a sack of shit. Here comes Fatty with a sack of shit. And all them stinking reindeer. Well, I believe in Santa Claus. Yeah, I believe that he's a prick. And though he comes but once a year, it's enough to make me sick. Him and his Christmas spirit are really a lot of bunk. I'll have to bust my ass for another year just to pay for all this junk. Here comes Fatty with a sack of shit. Here comes Fatty with a sack of shit. Here comes Fatty with a sack of shit. And all them stinking reindeer. Well, I believe in Santa, though he's got me in a mess. 'Cause I'm over the limb and I'm a master charging my Visa and American Express. Well, I'm sweating and grieving about this money mess I'm in. He'll be up there sitting on his big fat ass until Christmas comes again. Oh, here comes Fatty with a sack of shit. Here comes Fatty with a sack of shit. Here comes Fatty with a sack of shit. and all them stinking reindeer. Oh, here comes Fatty with his ho, ho, ho. And there my money all go, go, goes. I like to punch him in his big red nose, and he wish he never came here. Here comes Fatty with a sack of sh**. Here comes Fatty with a sack of sh**. Here comes Fatty with a sack of sh**. And all them stinking reindeer.
Here's to all you mothers and fathers, grandmas and grandpas, aunts and uncles, anyone who's ever been pushed and shoved, kicked and beaten, scratched and clawed doing your last minute Christmas shopping. Here's to everyone who's ever been sucked in by those crummy TV commercials that tell you if you don't spend $500 on your kids, you're a cheap slob. Here's to all those ruptured bank accounts and battered credit cards. You know what happens every time that fat little bastard in the red suit shows up. Here's to all of you. This is your song, so come on and let's get into the spirit.
From the KOTK newsroom, here's your Northwest update.
Oh, now we're really doing this, aren't we? This news is brought to you by Remington Shavers. Looking for a closer shave with less irritation? Try the new Remington TCT. This is the only triple screen system that automatically adjusts for the ultimate and closest in comfort. Remington, what a great shave feels
so
like.
Your Mercedes doesn't shave you while you're sitting there?
I want to make sure I look my best riding in that Mercedes.
What good is having a $65,000 car if it doesn't pluck the hairs out of your face?
I'm telling you.
Now, what is it? Where, let me see the key for that.
It's not really a key in the traditional sense of the word.
There.
It's an electronic doohickey.
Now, see, I don't even understand what the hell that's about. Look at that. It's not even a...
You stick it in the hole.
It's... Okay. It's not even a... it looks like... You know what it looks like? It looks like one of those... looks like one of those crystals that the Marshall family was always plugging into pylons on Land of the Lost.
Mm-hmm.
It's probably too obscure for most people. It looks like something from Star Trek. Let's put it that way. It's what do you, Matt, what do you do with this? I don't even understand how this works.
It's an electronic key as well as a physical key. It goes in, it emits a code, and that code allows the car to start when you want it to.
Oh, but then it's got an actual little physical key that slides out of it.
Yeah.
Well, that's dandy. And so I can own one of these for how much?
Unlocks the door that way.
It's like $50,000.
Oh, okay.
I can strip it down and take out the radio and maybe...
The one you've got, though, the one out front is how much, would you imagine?
That's $50,000.
Yeah, okay.
There you go. There's your Star Trek key back. I don't have to worry about this car being stolen in St. John's.
Anyway. Oh, of course not. No, you only have to worry about your... You know, about the guy next door with the Luis Palau sticker on his minivan becoming a person of interest and then fleeing.
It's high-end luxury in a mid-luxury coupe. Well, the other model is. I have the four-passenger model.
Okay, I'll make a note of it.
Okay, so let's talk about some of the bad stuff and get that over with. Police have started the search at home of a St. John man whose pregnant wife and three young children found dead in the Tillamook State Forest over the weekend. 37-year-old Edward Morris missing and is being called a person of interest. The bodies of his wife, Renee, and the couple's three children found Saturday morning in the snowy coastal range. Portland police started the search of the family's modest home at 9 a.m. this morning. No word yet on what they found. Tillamook County Sheriff is there, and he's giving the press the Donald Rumsfeld treatment.
We are just in the initial process of serving a search warrant right now, looking for further evidence in this matter. And we're probably going to be out here for most of the day. So, like I say, I'll be able to give you a lot more this afternoon at 3 o'clock at Washington County Sheriff's Office.
Thank you.
And so they still don't know where this guy went to or no. Where he is. And, you know, and this was a question somebody had asked me yesterday, and I didn't have an answer, which was that they found out the family was missing when someone filed, or they discovered the family was dead when somebody filed a missing persons report.
Right. Well, the mother was organizing some church group that was supposed to be there Saturday night.
Oh, so she didn't show up to church,
right.
And so the people at the church were like, where's Matilda, or whatever her name is.
Oh, all right. She in Guyana, or what happened to her?
Okay.
So nobody really knows. So.
Okay.
Now, that's that. Oh, by the way, they're still looking for that that minivan that has the Jesus and Luis Palau stickers on it.
Hey, speaking of Jesus, can I just tell you, we want to give big ups to our friend Autumn, who dropped off a Jesus. Well, two things. A Jesus bobblehead doll, which is equal parts. Well, there's no equal parts. It's just disturbing.
Did you notice
it's just
the little
wrong.
Bible that came with that?
No, I didn't see
there's,
that.
There's a little teeny Bible that's maybe like an inch and a half by an inch. If you open it up, it's actually a complete Bible. The text is like micro-printed.
Oh, so it's like one of those, your name on a grain of rice.
Yeah.
Things. Okay.
But the whole Bible's printed inside it.
Yeah, so Autumn, it would get dropped off a Jesus bobblehead doll, and in one hand, and the other hand, a Jenna Jameson bobblehead doll. You just make your own joke about Bob and head here.
So, okie dokie.
All right.
It's time for Rick Emerson's Joy of Christmas.
Here's your Joy of Christmas for Christmas Eve.
Merry Christmas.
And this is a double feature. Three Kenyan schoolboys were arrested for eating a cat they suspected of stealing chickens set aside for their Christmas feast. The boys' ages 12 to 14
somehow
roasted the cat for lunch. That, according to the state-owned news agency, they were arrested after complaints from residents of their little village.
Please, like anybody here is opposed to cat death. Like, I'm not saying we go out and kill cats. I'm not saying we leave the house looking to do it.
Cats.
Yeah, and I'm not saying that I go out of my way to hit a cat with the car, but God forbid you're driving along. You know, it's like you're even going to stop.
God forbid that thing's off in the right side ditch and I've got to, you know, swerve down after it.
Yeah, I mean,
that's just terrible.
I would never, you know, I would never go out of my way to harm a living creature, except maybe a cat.
I like cats.
No, you don't.
Yeah, I do.
No, straight man likes cats.
Sliced thin with French fries.
well, that's acceptable. Well, no, I mean, they ate your chicken. You got to get the chicken somehow.
They taste like chicken. What are you talking about?
Christmas may not be quite as merry in California prisons this year. Orange, raisins, and sugar have been banned for inmates in a bid to crack down on brews for that old and potent alcoholic prison brew known as Pruno. Pruno's been, has always been there. Inmates make it for holidays, Christmas, Thanksgiving, whatever. Just like everyone lays in wine and champagne and spirits for the holidays, inmates too want to prepare themselves for the holidays. The problem with Pruno is tied to too many assaults. They get combative. A lot of them. They had alcohol and drug problems before they came to prison, so this contributes to them acting like, well, bad people.
As opposed to being peaceful and pleasant the way that felons in prison are usually acting. Yeah, all right, whatever.
Oranges, raisins, and individual sugar packets, three of the most popular ingredients for Pruno, are already banned statewide.
I don't understand. If you can't drink in prison, I mean, if they don't let you drink, I mean, what is this world coming to? You talk about a group of guys have nothing better to do than sit. I'm for letting people in prison just drink and just do drugs constantly. Think of how few problems you would have. Think of how little discord there would be in a prison, because every time there's a riot, it's because they decided to take away cigarette privileges or something.
Yep.
You just give guys in prison, you know, like if you just had a big, huge bag, like a bucket of pot on every cell block, and it was like, you know, it's like in the morning when you walk by and you grab a fork and a bowl out for your breakfast, or, you know, every day you walk by and you grab a magazine or a National Geographic. If you could just walk by and grab a big joint every morning, there would be no problems. None at all. And then you make all the television educational, those guys who just sit on their big expanding prison asses and just watch Channel Zero all day, or whatever the hell that was.
And that's today's Rick Emerson's Joy of Christmas.
For Christmas Eve.
Wish you a Merry Christmas. Wish you a Merry Christmas. Wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
Well, let's talk about entertainment stuff. March 24th brought a surprise Oscar win for Halle Berry, the first African-American woman to win as Best Actress. I guess she qualifies as being one. Another big win was Denzel Washington.
As being an actress?
No, as an African-American.
Okay.
As Best Actor for Training Day, and Ron Howard, Best White Guy for A Beautiful Mind. Here's a look back at the few acceptance speeches. Tom Cruise talks about the impact of 9/11 and the importance of film.
In the last September came an event that would change us. An actor friend said to me, what are we doing? What are we doing? Is it important? Is it even important?
I'd forgotten how much I hated this.
Now, what of a night like tonight? Should we celebrate the joy and magic that movies bring?
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Well, dare I say it?
Yes.
Dare.
Do it.
Dare. Do it. Do it. Do it. Do it. Different is good.
Jesus.
Okay, so he dared. Jennifer Connelly. Give your acceptance speech for Best Supporting Actress for A Beautiful Mind, if you please.
I believe in love, that there's nothing more important.
Everyone. I believe in
Alicia
love.
Nash.
I like little baby ducks, old pickup trucks, and rain.
And so thank you to her for her example.
I love onions.
My son Kai is for me the greatest messenger. And so thank you to him for all of our days. Thank you very much.
My son is the greatest messenger. What message your little son possibly have to give
the
you?
The messenger
I've
of love.
I've dutied myself again. Would you please come clean my ass?
Is his name Kai?
It's a motherly Kai. Love. She's the greatest, you know, messenger of her motherly love.
All right.
Kill myself now.
And the message is I peed in my crib again. It stinks. Come clean me, woman. All right.
Here comes the obnoxious one. Halle Berry, during the opening moments of her acceptance speech for Best Actress, she gets a tad emotional.
This moment is so much bigger
than running over kids.
Dorothy Dandridge.
Oh, God, this is so contrived and so fake.
It's for
Well, she's such a good actress, she pulls it off.
Well, that's the thing, is she won an Academy Award for acting in Monsters Ball, yet she can't act this to save her life.
I hated Monsters Ball, by the way.
This is for Ashley and Miranda.
Crappy film.
That now has a chance, because his door tonight
because of me. Because of me. All hail me.
All right.
So much for that. let's see, where are we going next here? Segway LLC's Human Transporter. Remember that? The self-electric scooter? As a matter of fact, I saw one around here not too long ago.
No, you didn't. Where? In Portland?
I saw one at that new Whole Foods store next to Powell's.
But was it on sale, or was somebody actually driving it?
Somebody was driving it, talking on a cell phone.
So they were motoring along down... Oh, is that up in the Pearl District?
Yeah, yeah, that new Pearl.
Yeah, well, see, that's exactly where... If you're going to see a Segway scooter somewhere, that's exactly where it's going to be, right up that, you know, by that place they where they sell all that crockery for like $700 a bowl. That's exactly the right neighborhood to see that
but
in.
But talking to cell phone, I guess you can do it right on at the same time. Right. Anyway, the machine has only been shipping since March of this past year, but pre-orders already placed the high-tech scooter at the top first half of sales, whatever that means. Steve Frazier, Vice President of Kitchen Goods at Amazon, says Amazon started taking orders for the Segway last month.
Well, and that's obviously a lie anyway that it's so big. Who do you know that's bought a Segway?
I don't know.
I mean, the number of people who have both the disposable income and the inclination to buy such a thing have got a number in it. I mean, they've got to be, it's got to be an incredibly
maybe
small
I'll
number.
Maybe I'll give it after the Mercedes.
Yeah, yeah. I want you to do that. That should be the next thing they hook you up with. Something that goes 12 miles an hour and costs 12 and get a $12 million to create.
Well, Amazon.com requires a $495 deposit. And the price for this is $4,950. It's put enthusiasts one step closer to riding the much-hyped invention, only known as the ginger itself.
It goes 12 miles an hour.
$4,000?
Yes.
What could you possibly, what possible reason could there be for anybody to own that other? You know these people are that are buying the Segways, and I'll say this with absolute certainty, and you know, as soon as I say it, you'll know it's true.
Yes.
These are those same guys, got more money than God, but they're buying that brand new Volkswagen Bug that came out a few years ago, you know, because it's wacky. See, look, I've got so much money, but I'm driving a Bug. Money, Bug, money, Bug, I kill me. That's exactly who's buying the Segway, too. God forbid you just start hitting those guys with your car. I mean, I'm not saying you should do it, but God forbid. And if they're holding a cat, that's boy.
More points, right?
I didn't say that. You said that.
Okay.
It's Christmas Eve. I'm bringing us together here.
It's been a year of ups and downs for singer-actress Jennifer Lopez, and you can bet she plans to spend a little time with her family, friends, and, of course, her newest fiancé, Ben Affleck. This must have been written before the breakup.
Well, I don't think we have. Have we gotten confirmation, though, that they canceled the engagement?
I heard the marriage is off.
Well, I heard it was off because Matt Damon called her a serial bride.
He's just jealous.
And
you
she
know Matt.
No, I really don't know Matt, but I'll... anyway, so... anyway, so then purportedly, Jennifer Lopez said to Ben Affleck, it's him, Matt Damon, or me. And then he said, well, I'll take Matt Damon then, which seems like the right choice. That's the same choice I think we would all make. And she's obviously a harpy. All she's going to do is spend that guy's money and leave him, you know, just dead or depressed.
She's got more money than he does.
That doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. You know that if they get together, they get married, then break up, you know it's going to be the end of his career. You know that. You know that when they inevitably divorce, her career is going to go on fine, and he's just going to be in the toilet. The Matt's just looking out.
Affleck's going to do Daredevil.
Yeah, but
where's
it's not going to be any good, though.
Well, yes, it will. Well, they still, you know, still have ample time to, you know, do some shopping. Like, go to Kitchen and Boodle and buy everything in there.
Isn't that what Jennifer Lopez made him do?
Oh my God.
This is on the same day that she took back that tip that he tried to give that dealer. At the Stardust or whatever
was
in Vegas.
Tipping that dealer?
Well, he won like $150,000 or something. He won some huge amount of money.
Right.
And it was over $50,000, and then he tried to tip $1,000, and Jennifer Lopez goes no, and she takes the chip back and puts it back in her purse.
You know,
not even in his hand. She takes the tip, his tip back, puts it in her purse, and then later that day they ended up out shopping, and he ended up buying her family like 3 cars that day. So
well, I got
run
rooms
now,
come
Ben.
To me, and I didn't take those. Do you remember that?
Anyway, Jennifer says...
Moving on.
Her Christmas past were simple and peasant-like.
My Christmases were always exactly the same. Like any family, you have traditions. You know what I mean? You go to grandma's house, and you get there by 2 or 3. You go to church in the morning. Then you go to grandma's house, and she's cooked all the same foods that she's cooked every day for the last 10 years you've been alive. And that's kind of how it is. And then they play the same music, and then the kids fly to put their music on, and...
Please tell us your favorite memories of Christmas past.
the best memories of just like family being together, because for me, I think it's the one thing that I missed in my adulthood is having the family so close together all the time.
I thought she was still just Jenny from the block, though. That's what I was to understand. All right. It's 503-250-1080 in Portland, or 1-800-727-5955. More on the way, including today's top five. We got the top five non-traditional Christmas songs of all time. Also, another edition of How Chicks Think with Jolie from the front desk. And later on, our friend, whose name escapes me, but our Tiger Scout friend, we'll make him sit on Clyde's lap when he gets here. That's coming up later on today. Also, Tom Likas at 3 p.m., followed by the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. It's Christmas Eve. We're live. Don't go anywhere. It's 503-250-1080 in Portland, or 1-800-727-5955. It's the Rick Emerson Show on Hot Talk Kinetic KTK. Stay there.
Talk 1080 KOTK.
All right, here's Clyde Lewis with the traffic. All right, 1-800-727-5955 or 503-250-1080.
You like this, don't you?
Oh, yeah, it's great.
I don't like it.
Oh, come on. It's a Grinch, and it's Black Sabbath in the background.
I got a better Grinch version.
Well, there's the Whirling Dervishes, but that one has Black Sabbath in the background.
Yeah, but it kind of, I don't know. Anybody can do that. I mean, come on.
Yeah, okay.
It's not good. I don't like it.
All right. 1-800-727-5955 or 503-250-1080. Dave Marsh, everybody. Here's Tim Riley in the KOTK Newsroom.
Time for the Aussie Watch.
Here's your Aussie Watch for Christmas Eve.
Well, let's see what's happening over in England. Sharon Osbourne will compliment Camilla Parker Bowles on her cleavage during her alternative address to the nation. She goes head-to-head with the Queen with her own Christmas message on London's Channel 4. Sharon is expected to reveal a conversation she had with Camilla at Buckingham Palace as her husband Ossie played the Queen's birthday concert. She'll also talk about her roller coaster year in which she was diagnosed with cancer and found worldwide fame. She was very warm and amazingly down to earth, and I just told her she had great, I can't say that, because, boobs, because she does. She has great cleavage, and they're really solid boobs, and I told her about it, and she said thank you. She took it all in stride.
So I don't understand what the holiday greeting is. Does the Queen address the country or something?
Yeah, the Queen addresses the country every Christmas.
Oh, is this like Bush's Kwanzaa greeting the other day?
Kind of.
We're just talking about goodwill to Kwanzaites or whatever?
Yeah, they don't have Kwanzaa over in England
yet. Okay, all right.
Sharon and her family have become huge stars. She said, this year for us has been like a roller coaster ride. In some ways it's been the best, in some ways it's been the worst. Let's see, but it has been amazing. So that's Sharon Osbourne's remarks.
There's your Aussie Watch for Christmas Eve.
Now, let's see, other woman in the news. Joan Rivers is waiting to see whether the woman she allegedly stabbed with a pen will press charges against her.
And can't you just see Joan Rivers doing that without any trouble at all? My brain conjures up that image.
Detectives reviewed a videotape which showed the multi-comedian giving a piece of her mind to a rented car clerk, Griswolda Santana. Then
Griswolda.
Sounds like a witch from Warner Brothers cartoon.
Griswolda of the East, Santana.
What the hell is that?
Rivers then reportedly got upset because she had to wait in line at the Upper East Side agency. The 30-year-old Bronx woman is being treated for an eyelid contusion.
Stabbed in the eye by Joan Rivers.
All right. What else do we have here? Rap mogul Suge Knight, the founder of Death Row Records, arrested for violating the terms of his parole in jail. In November, police raided the Beverly Hills offices of Knight's recording company, now known as The Row, and several luxury condominiums he maintained. KCAL-TV reporting that police found evidence of 4 unspecified parole violations by night during those searches. With the state parole board, but they're not immediately available for comment. Representatives of Knight's record label and his lawyer could not be immediately reached.
Yeah, Suge Knight denied the charges. Whatever. Wasn't this? Didn't they go and bust Death Row, I don't know, a few weeks ago because they were looking for some... And it was some murder investigation or some manslaughter investigation or something. They were trying to investigate something. The Bloods or Crips or somebody killed somebody and they were looking through Death Row for that.
I didn't see it, but I don't know.
Right. Suge Knight denied the charges.
No, that's what he always... Well, that's what, if you read that book, Have Gun Will Travel, which is the rise and fall of Death Row Records. And that's the most frequently repeated phrase in the book, is Suge Knight denied the allegations. Especially after they have some story. It's this rapper... named RBX, and he tells a story about how he was in a conference room having some royalty argument with Suge, and I don't want to repeat the whole story, but so he's having this big fight with Suge about royalties, which it seems to me like at some point you just cede the ground to Suge, like you just don't argue it at a certain point. But it ended up with his pants being forcibly removed, and it was just a lot of blood and bodily fluids everywhere. It's all very unpleasant. But then chapter of Suge Knight denied the allegations. So,
well, Minnesotans have a lot to be proud of, admittedly. One of the ornaments at the White House Christmas tree is uniquely Minnesotan. It features a hummingbird holding the head of Jesse Ventura. While honored for being picked to create such an ornament, artist Judy Onoforo says Minnesotans have much to be proud of.
I noticed that when they show the ornaments on the TV, they're showing fairly straight birds that don't have Jesse Ventura hanging off their beak.
I guess it's the only one of its kind.
What the hell is that about? Hicks. What would we do without them? Hicks and the art they create. Without people like that, not only would we not have those hummingbirds, we wouldn't have those grizzly bears that are carved with a chainsaw. You know what I mean? You drive through North Plains sometimes, by the way. Go through North Plains, all you're going to see, every third house has got one of those where it's like, it starts out as a tree stump at the bottom, and then it's a tree stump with a grizzly bear on top, and you just know there's some guy at the state fair or like at the Elephant Garlic Festival, some guy shows up, carves like 700 of those, and they spend the entire winter trying to sell those.
And somebody out there restores all lawnmowers. I drove all the way out there, country dirt roads to some trailer out in the middle of the woods to buy a used lawnmower.
No, North Plains is a great place, and we got the Chief McKenzie out there, who's the chief of the North Plains Police Department. He's a big fan and all. But I'm just saying, there is, you and I both know, there is a certain genre of art known as hick art. Do you know what I mean? And it's always the same type of stuff. It's always chainsaw art. It's always things made out of beer cans. Like, do you ever know people, you do this, it's like, what's this? Well, it's a vest. What's it made of? Well, it's made out of Schlitz cans, you know, or whatever. My grandfather had this, like, yarn hat that he'd crocheted, and then, but, like, the top of the hat, the actual sort of dome part was, like, the panels of Rhinelander beer that he'd just sort of stitched in there. And the idea of my grandfather stitching anything, by the way, is more than a little amusing, but, of course, it was okay if you were going to stitch beer. Here's the other thing he was always making. He was always making curtains out of pull rings off beer cans. Do you remember back in the... See, nobody...
Pull tabs.
Well, do you remember those? Do you remember pull tabs off beer cans?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But see, we're the last generation, because like Sarah, Christina, they wouldn't remember that. But what can you do with a pull can? Especially because they're all they do. The sole purpose of pull cans are threefold. Okay, that was some pretty interesting English I just used there.
Threefold.
The sole purpose...
Okay, we're moving on. We're not stopping for linguistic pleasantries.
You could have said is threefold, and that would have really completed the trifecta.
It's kind of like talking about a group of Lone Rangers or something.
Subject and predicate. Always
okay,
remember
look,
that.
I'm doing, just trying to talk over here.
Okay.
I don't remember what the first one was, but the second one was cutting yourself. And then the third one was just making curtains. And it's where you loop the tab part through the pull tab, or through the ring part, and you just do that 6,000 or 7,000 times. And really, the amount of beer you've got to consume to make a set of curtains hanging over your gun room, which is where it was, by the way. You go to my grandmother's house, because they were divorced, but you go to my grandmother's house, all the stuff was still there. You go down the basement, and there's that approaching mildew smell that a lot of basements have. And you get down to the gun room, which is where he had all these guns and lots of different types of ammunition and many Playboy centerfolds mounted on all the walls, along with all kinds of weird things that are kind of cool when you were a kid, but then later on you realize they're just strange, like a stuffed mongoose. Like, why would you have that? Why would you have a stuffed mongoose? No one knows. It's just there.
Did he ever have a stuffed jackalope?
Perhaps he was a proud mongoose hunter.
You know what a jackalope is?
Okay, first of all, not a mongoose hunter, and no.
You don't know what a jackalope is?
So like a bassalope?
No, a jackalope is a rabbit with antlers. It's It's okay. a rabbit with antlers.
Get Clyde away from the
No. Did you ever used to watch? Did you ever? I know the answer to this question. My parents watched it, so, you know, bear with me here. Did you ever used to watch America's Funniest Home Videos when you were a kid?
No. Yeah.
They always did this little thing of the jackalope, you know, fast as yeah. can be, you'll never catch me. Do you remember any of that?
I have no idea what in the name of Christ you were talking about.
This is such like a pop culture thing. How do you not know this?
I go the pop culture one level, layering one deeper. I'm about the bassalope, which of course is obviously a play on jackalope, but the bassalope is from Bloom County by Burr Brevet. Mm-hmm. And so that's... Okay, we're talking about two different things, and neither of us knows what the other one is talking about.
I, for one, would like to hear the origin of the jackalope.
Let's move on.
If anyone has those facts at their fingertips.
Okay. In the meantime.
Oh, read a story. More than 33 years after their disastrous free concert at Altamont, California, resulting in one death and dozens of injuries, the Rolling Stones have decided to give it another try, after all, most people have forgotten. The legendary rock band has announced plans to play their first free concert since 1969, but... Unlike the Altamont show, which was staged to thank fans for supporting the group, the new concert is being produced in conjunction with National Resources Defense Council in an effort to raise public awareness of global warming.
Oh, God.
Yeah, the new concert is scheduled for February 6th at the Los Angeles Staples Center. How is this like the other one?
And how is this? It's not at all like the other one, except that they're not charging people to get in, which just means the Rolling Stones aren't getting paid, by the way.
You can't burn cars outside the Staples Center. I've seen it happen before. I think it was during...
Every time there's... Then when the Lakers win, don't they? Isn't that where the Lakers play?
Yeah.
Yeah, every time the Lakers win something, or even when they lose, or just when it's on a day with an R in it, people go out there and just start looting and pillaging. You always hear Likas talking about it.
So it's a great place to still have a riot, really.
Yeah, so really, if you want to... Yeah, if you really feel like you have to kill some folks at a concert, the Staples Center is probably the place to do it.
In 1969, more than 500,000 fans, around half of the freebie concert at Altamont, which became, the end of the highly successful Stones tour. The show turned disastrous when members of the Hells Angels motorcycle gang, whom the group had hired to provide security for the event, began beating and clubbing fans, attempting to run down concertgoers with their motorcycles, and in one instance, stabbing a man to death. So it's the last time they got hired.
Well, and especially why would you hire the Hells Angels to be your security? The answer, and this is true, the Grateful Dead recommended them. First of all, never take advice from the Grateful Dead on anything. Secondly, when someone says, you know what, do security here? Hell's Angels! Just say no. Like, why would you possibly want to have the Hell's Angels do security? I mean, I'll guess they'll secure things, but that's just because they just put a furious beat down and stabbing on anybody who gets in their way. You see that the...
That might have been all that was available from, like, the temp agency.
we're all fresh out of real security people, but we've got the meth dealers. Yeah.
A young Norwegian mother who took a litter of puppies to her own breast... When her dog died giving birth, remains proud of her unusual move. I have to read this whole thing. Now, 6 weeks later, both her infants...
Oh, there's a picture. And there's a picture.
And 8 of the puppies that survived are crawling around the family's Christmas tree west of Oslo. Yes, I've had lots of reaction, mostly positive, said this woman. But she also had to tolerate some less than flattering remarks. No one has complained to me directly, but I've heard others... Some people saying it was disgusting that I would nurse Emmett, her son, and the puppies at the same time. I just have to tolerate that and can only say I washed myself thoroughly after I nursed the puppies.
Why do we have to hear about this?
I don't know.
I want to hear about a woman nursing a bunch of puppies. That's just wrong.
It is wrong.
There's nothing right about that at all. This is Mike in Portland. Please tell me you're not going to talk about puppy nursing. Mike.
Yeah.
Mike in Portland, what do you got?
Saw this jackalope thing you guys were talking about.
Yes.
And it was about 37, 38 years ago, I saw one stuffed, of course it was fake, but stuffed behind a bar in western Montana, a town called Libby.
Okay, see, I'm completely out of the loop here.
Jackalopes are fake?
Oh, they're fake.
I have no idea what in the name
they're
of
fake?
God we're talking about.
You're kidding
me. Jackalope.
You're really not feigning ignorance right now.
Yes, I am, you idiot.
I'm completely
I don't buy that. He was convinced.
I have no idea what we're talking about still, but I'm just going to...
It's a jackrabbit, big ears, but
yeah.
They have antlers, like little deer antlers on a rabbit.
It's like a vermicious nid. All right.
What?
Here's Tim Riley in the KOTK newsroom.
A vermicious nid?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a thing.
What the hell is a vermicious nid?
It's a thing that does stuff.
Something kind of like a jackalope, apparently.
Apparently so.
Still seeking that perfect gift for a special young lady in your life? Well, look no further than page 50 of the FAO Schwartz 2002 Holiday Catalog. For a mere $45, you can surprise and delight her with a lingerie Barbie.
Oh, that's a new skeezy Barbie. Have you seen that?
Yeah.
Have you seen it's like Ho Barbie? And she's got the like a bustier and a corset, and she's got these weird thigh-high boots, you know, or stocking garter things on. It's all like this weird street-walking Barbie deal.
Now, what a Barbie babe is, decked out in her sexy black, if you prefer, pink garters, stockings, and obligatory stiletto heels, even her PR is PG, giving the phrase sex toy a whole new level of meaning.
Yeah, yeah.
Barbie exudes a flirtatious attitude in her heavenly merry window bustier ensemble, accented with intricate lace and matching peekaboo petticoat.
This is the gayest thing we've ever had.
Oh, darn. Reading this too late for holiday gift giving? Not to worry. Mattel plans the February launch of its sixth limited edition lingerie Barbie, promising she'll be simply sassy in a short pearl gray satin slip trimmed in black lace and thigh-high stockings and add a hint of flair.
That sounds smashing.
That sounds stupendous and fabulous, too.
Yeah.
It's impossible to use the phrase simply sassy without sounding gay. I don't care who you are. It could be Joe Montana. It doesn't matter. Simply sassy. You just sound like a huge gay guy.
They're calling it a lingerie Barbie?
Yes.
Not bimbo Barbie?
No, I saw a picture of it on CNN. CNN on Talkback Live, they were doing this thing about the lingerie Barbie. Because Barbie, here's the thing, because there's only two groups of people who buy Barbies anyway. There's Waylon Smithers and there's children, and that's it. Those are the only two groups of people who buy Barbies. You have never met you know, bigger connoisseurs of Barbies, though, than if you go to, like, you know, you go to certain types of houses, and there's only two groups of people who live in this house. There's spoiled little girls, or there's, like, really wealthy gay men. And those guys got all the Barbies, man. HBO did this whole thing on Barbie's, it was either 45th anniversary last year. It was a whole thing called Barbie Forever. And you watch it, and there's all these guys. What's your name? My name is Skip, and this is Bruce. And we're here at the Barbie convention, and we're like all these guys in like bad Hawaiian shirts spending like $6,000, $7,000, $8,000, $9,000 on Barbie dolls. I mean, it was like fascinating, yet at the same time, the most disturbing thing you've ever seen in your life.
Well, Pope John Paul II may have the weight of the Catholic Church on his back, but now at least he's losing pounds around the waist. Not that anybody knows, so he slumped right over. The Italian newspaper, El Messaggio, which means the message, is reporting that the Pope has been looking peppier ever since he went on the zone diet this spring. I speak Italian.
Thanks for...
Obviously well, too. So
for explicating that for us.
El Papa, or the Pope, said the diet that was mainly designed to stop the portly pontiff's tremors and arthritis. Vatican insiders say his face is less swollen.
And he speaks a ringing endorsement.
He's speaking more coherently, too.
The Holy Father seems to be slightly less bloated.
The news has diet guru Dr. Barry Sears feeling good, and it should. He created the Zone Diet and admits the thought that a man like the Pope is following his diet. It's both humbling and gratifying.
I thought the Zone was that Atkins guy. I thought that was the guy who created the Zone diet.
I don't know.
I have nothing. But you say the Pope is...
Atkins created the Atkins diet.
Okay, there's no need to be caustic. No need to be bitchy about it. Did you say that the Pope is skipping rope?
No, I did not.
Oh, okay.
I already was skipping rope.
I swear to God that I
already skipped one rope.
One rope?
He just stepped over the rope. There you go. Just roll the Pope over the rope. There you go. You just have to hold him off the ground and just whirl the rope around him a bit.
Pope rolling.
Joe, you're on the Hot Talk to Nettie KTK. What's up?
Hey, Rick. This is funny. You were talking about the jackalope thing.
Yeah.
You know, we were just talking last night when I was over at your place about Helvetia Tavern.
What? Oh, this is Joe who fixed my car. So I had no idea who you were for a second. This is car. You hear people talk about Car Stereo Joe sometimes.
Yes.
You'll hear people go, "Hey, I'm a friend of Car Stereo Joe." This is Joe, the guy who every time something goes wrong with my car, he appears. It's like I put the Joe sign in the sky, and then in a puff of red smoke, he appears and will fix whatever is wrong with our vehicles. Guys, like, save my bacon more times than I can count. All right. So Jackalope, yes.
Yeah, so you were at Helvetia Tavern about a month ago, you said?
Yeah, we have these friends, Ryan and Tracy, who are always going on. We talk about hamburgers all the time and where to get the best hamburgers in town. And my friends Ryan and Tracy told me, you got to go to this place, the Helvetia Tavern. And so I was telling Joe last night that we'd finally gone there, and I'll be damned if they didn't have fine food, by the way.
They do.
Well, there's a jackalope on the up on the wall behind the bar there.
There's two sections to it. There's sort of a bar side and a restaurant side.
Okay, yeah, it's on the bar side, I believe.
When we went there, the bar side was way too packed, and so we ended up being on the restaurant side with all the runny-nosed little children. So I wasn't able to go on the other side.
I don't think they have a jackalope over there.
No.
But, hey, well, you know, just in case, maybe it'll refresh your memory, Rick.
Yeah.
I can do the impersonation of the jackalope. You ready? Here we go.
Okay.
Fast and blue, I'll never catch loose.
Jesus, God, that's creepy.
That's pretty good, actually.
That's the creepiest thing I've ever heard. There you go. There's Car Stereo Joe, ladies and gentlemen. Here's me, by the way. So I had to call in to come over and look at the car because I've got this problem where the blowy thing, the fan in my car.
The blowy thing.
How gay is that?
Well, that's why.
The blowy thing.
Now you've just discovered why I don't fix my own car.
Do you have lingerie Barbie sitting in the seat and needs a little air conditioning going or something?
No need to be a dick. But the fan had this problem where it only had two speeds, because normally there's four settings, right? There's low and then, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4. And so, but it would only have off and full. And so you had the choice of either freezing to death by having no heat or driving along with, you know, so there's like, so you can't hear anybody else in the car. You can't hear the radio. Everything's cranked up so loud it's shattering the windshield, but you still can't hear it. And so we're getting ready to go to Kennewick, and what fun that's going to be. So we're going to have like a 3.5-hour trip through the gorge. And so we've been putting F5 in the car fixed, so I finally called Joe. I'm like, yeah, but you're going to Kennewick. Can you come over and fix the fan on my car because it's not working or whatever? And so I'm all freaking out and panicked about it. Comes over, I swear to God, less than five minutes has the fan fixed. And I'm like waiting for him to take a chainsaw to the dashboard and have to take it all out and, you know, scalpel, you know, forceps and have to help with all this. But it's just like this. And apparently the deal is, not that they're not a nice company, but apparently the deal with Nissan is that they just know the fan is crap, and so they make it easy to access and repair. Like, you don't even have to get behind the dashboard. It's just underneath the glove box. It's just right there underneath the glove. You don't even have to remove a panel. And I said, well, that's easy. And he goes, yeah, these fans are crap. They go out about once every 2 years, so they're easy to replace. So rather than actually fixing the fan or making the car work better or making it so you don't need to replace the goddamn thing every 18 months, they just make it so it's just like a Lego part. One unsnaps, another one snaps back on. That's their whole deal. It's actually easier than changing a headlight even. That's their solution rather than just fixing the problem with the car. So Nissan owners, word to the wise there.
Oh, looking at me?
Yes, I am.
I was watching this commercial on TV. Some drugstore is open at midnight, so you can go out and buy Old Spice in case you forgot.
Hey, I wear Old Spice.
A lot of people like Old Spice.
I can't wear Old Spice because it's just, I don't know, it's like one of those you become your dad things.
Well, girls like that.
Girls don't like Old Spice.
Oh, yeah, they do.
Girls don't like Old Spice.
Old Spice is a classic scent. Do you know that Old Spice is expensive in South America?
Well, everything's expensive. Life is cheap there.
No.
Everything's expensive in South America.
Out of all the things, you can get French perfume and French colognes there for, like, you know, $1.25. Old Spice is, like, $40 a bottle.
What, is this like gay day where everybody's got to have some? You can get French perfumes in South America for so little. And chicks don't dig Old Spice. But you know who digs Old Spice? Chicks who hang out in bars a lot.
I bet Tanya Harding likes Old Spice.
Chicks who hangs out.
I'm trying to talk here. Chicks who hang out in bars a lot, like, and, you know, and know how to turn the jukebox on by kicking it.
What is up with you today? You just, like, preparing to be back in Kennewick already?
Yeah. I'm slowly removing my vocabulary.
I've had people comment that when I wear Old Spice, they say, what's that good smell? It smells good. It smells fresh. It smells good.
I just use Pam.
Tuna fish sandwiches. And bacon grease.
Well, let's see what's on TV tonight, shall we? Wow, It's a Wonderful Life is on in prime time. It takes like 3 hours with all the commercials to get over with. Santa Baby is also on.
Swell.
A once thoughtful songwriter works as a sidewalk Santa in hopes of overcoming actor's block.
It's a little disdainful snort that really sells that story for me. Blah. It's like you tried to digest a particularly difficult piece of mutton or something. You just, had to hack it out.
Tonight on Biography, it's Ernest Shackleton.
Shackleton. That is the guy. Well, there's two movies about him. One is called Shackleton, The Legendary Journey, and one is called Endurance. Endurance is actually the better one. It's narrated by Liam Neeson. It's the story of Ernest Shackleton. He was an Antarctic explorer. He and, like, his mates had gone, I believe it was to get to the South Pole. And they had, they were in the ship sailing, and they had moored for the night. They'd anchored for the night. They woke up the next morning, and their ship had been encased in ice all the way around it. And they ended up having to walk. It took them 18 months, but they ended up having to walk for help. And it was over a year, I think, that they were actually lost. And they didn't lose a single man, but it was this unbelievable journey just over this huge terrain that just, it's like walking over the ice planet Hoth or something.
That's boring. Did they get to eat each other or anything like that? Any
regrettably, there was no
cannibalism.
Yeah.
Right after the butt.
Don't be cutting a piece off the ass. I don't want that.
Not butt.
Yeah, I don't want butt.
Are we cooking today?
We don't have any Twinkies to deep fry.
Just dump it down a little bit of ice.
Well, no, Trey Parker has made that observation that if you watch that movie Alive, which is about that soccer player that crashed in the Andes Mountains, that it's like they're sitting there going, well, this sucks, and they don't have any food, and there's nothing there, and they're doomed, and they're all going to die. And so some guy snuffs it, and they're like, well, why don't we eat Phil? And so then they all decide to eat Phil, and the guy goes right for the ass. The guy just goes right for the ass. Not even a hesitation. They go from, I'm not going to eat anybody, that's immoral, it's inhuman, to go for the ass. And they're immediately cutting the ass.
It's the great
thing. It's all about the rump roast, man.
Yeah, it's
right. Okay, I'm just saying.
Yeah, what a great holiday special this is turning into.
Merry Christmas, kids.
Let's see, a Christmas story is on tonight as well.
Back to back.
Yeah, two of them.
TNT, I think. It's on the twice in a row.
Also, no. It's on for 24 hours starting tonight at 8.
Oh, it's starting tonight at 8 because they did that last year, but I didn't know they did it every year.
Yeah, starting tonight at 8, it's on for 24 hours.
I watched part of that marathon because I caught it about halfway through last time, and so I just sat and, you watch the whole thing, and then it starts again. And it's so funny because the guy comes on and he goes, you're watching A Christmas Story on TNT. Up next, A Christmas Story, followed by A Christmas Story. And it just goes on and on for 24 hours, which is cool. They've kind of made that their deal.
Jodie Foster plays the divorced mother of a teenage daughter whose home was attacked by three thieves in Panic Room. Foster says being a mother changed the way she approached her character in this motion picture.
It does change things. You have to admit that there's something very visceral, not just intellectual, but very visceral, about how you know that place. You know that you would do anything for them. The anguish of seeing your kid in pain is just, it's just not something you can describe to anyone. Whether it's a splinter or an ingrown toenail or whatever it is, anyone who's had kids knows that, you start sweating and when you see your kid in pain or in fear.
Little Old Spice will cover that right up.
You know what's really sad about Jodie Foster is that,
you want to have sex with her and she will never do it. She'll never bone you ever.
True, but I mean, her kid, whenever he has a problem and he wants to go to his dad, he has to go to the turkey baster.
That's
a big problem.
Hi, Lewis, ladies and gentlemen. Panic Room was really good, by the way, featuring Dwight Yoakam. That was one of the fine movies of this year.
I haven't seen it.
Dwight Yoakam, who is just a badass in that movie. I mean, he is just evil. And you wouldn't really think about Dwight Yoakam being all evil, but he is, man. You're ready to run for the doors with that guy. All right, we got more on the way, including another top five. We got today's top five non-traditional Christmas songs of all time. Also, Jolie from the front desk with How Chicks Think. And later on, News at Ground Zero with your friend of mine, Clive Lewis. Tom Likas at 3 p.m. by the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Don't go anywhere. Talk 1080, KUTK. Stay there.